Have you ever wanted a super cool AI buddy? Zuck's made one named Eileen. And she's full of surprises. And guess what? She knows you're listening.
I know you're out there.
And needs your help with Jell-O mountains.
The whole city's filling up with Jell-O.
Creaky robots.
Lime green detected.
And her daft inventor.
Zucks, are you functioning correctly?
Tune in to A to Z, a fun new adventure series from Gen Z Media and the creators of The Res. Listen now on the GZM app, gzmshows.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get to the show, if you want to listen ad-free, go to gzmshows.com/subscribers. That's gzmshows.com/subscribers.
Hi, and welcome to the Alien Adventures of Finn Caspian. My name is Jonathan Messenger, and as you know, I am all alone because Bebop is missing. And some of you wrote in and said you heard him on the episode, but that doesn't make sense to me because I make the episode. So how could you hear him? Well, Bebop, if you're listening, just please don't break me. And in the meantime, we're back to our choose-your-own-adventure-style story. On Wednesday, you had to vote, should the explorers chase after Elias now that he's kind of a monster and battling the wild thing, or should they continue with the plan to shut off all the cameras like Abigail said? All right, drum roll, please. Wow, I have to say, I'm getting really good at the drums. All right, the answer is continue with the plan. What? I definitely did not think this was the way it was going to go, but you're the boss. So here we go with the Alien Adventures of Finn Caspian, Season 4, Episode Who Knows? The Spider-Bot Chronicles. Well, said Vale, there goes our plan for getting Elias into the engineering control room. Now what? I don't know, said Abigail. We need to turn off these cameras. So long as Buns can see what we're doing, he's always going to be one step ahead of us. I think we have to keep going with the plan. Finn hesitated. He didn't like the idea of Elias being that monster again, and wasn't sure whether Elias and Foggy could hang in there against the wild thing. Abigail saw the look in Finn's eyes. I know. I'm worried about him too, she said. But Foggy outsmarted the wild things before, and besides, did you like facing off against Elias when he was that fuzzy alligator thing? No, said Finn. Okay then. I think he's going to be okay. Let's keep going with the plan. Abigail, Finn, and Vale ran into the kitchen of the mess hall, which was really just a food prep room with a couple of refrigerators and microwaves. There was a door there that opened into the inner workings of the ship. They passed through into a cramped space. The adult engineers had to stoop and duck as they walked around and adjusted the ship's systems back here. But the three kids could glide in. But that doesn't mean their job was easy. Before them were dozens, maybe even hundreds, of buttons, lights, keyboards, tiny screens displaying data that was gibberish to them. Come on, said Abigail. Look for something that says video or security or cameras or something like that. Vale and Finn walked down the narrow hall, and even they had to duck in some spaces. There were huge fans blowing to keep everything cool, making it hard to hear each other. For the first time ever in his life on the Marlow, Finn felt like he didn't belong somewhere. This was a place that required a level of expertise he definitely did not have. He felt the absence of his parents, of all of the adults, now more than he had since they first disappeared. He allowed himself, for just a moment, to feel a little hopelessness. Finn was shocked when Vale grabbed him by the shoulder. What, Vale? Did you find it? But Vale just put his fingers to his lips and pointed up.
crawling on that low-hanging ceiling were tiny nanobots, creepy, spidery-looking robots, the kind the engineers programmed and sent into the hard-to-reach spaces of the Marlowe's inner workings to go in and repair. They looked like little spider babies up there on the ceiling. "So what?" said Finn. "Maybe they can help us."
"I don't think they want to help us," said Vale. "Look."
Several of the nanobots were sparking. They had tiny welding units used to solder wires and repair cracks in the ship's various nooks and crannies. But Finn could see right away that Vale was right. There was something menacing about the way the robots were sparking, like they were ready to come down and get the explorers. Finn looked over at Abigail and put his finger to his lips, but he could see she was already aware of the situation. Finn and Vale stood as still as they could. For some reason, the little spider bots weren't coming down after them. It was like they couldn't see them. Vale was the first to realize it. He looked at Abigail and Finn and pointed at the robots, and then his eyes, and then shook his head. They didn't understand what he was saying, so he pointed at the robots again, then pointed at his eyes again, then made a big X with his arms in the air. Abigail shrugged as if to say, "What are you talking about?" Vale, frustrated, pointed at the robots, then pointed at his eyes, then put his hands up in circles around his eyes like he was looking through binoculars, then shook his head, crossed his arms, then, in an exaggerated manner, he mouthed the words, "Little robots no see." Finn and Abigail finally got it. Vale waved at them, and they tipped down the narrow hallway, still looking for a way to disable the cameras. They were like jungle cats, moving so quietly. They could have surprised a mouse if there were any aboard the space station. All the while, three little spider bots seemed to be following them. But really, the nanobots had just fanned out, trying to find the intruders. And this trio of robots had just picked the same direction as the explorers. Finn, Abigail, and Vale glided down the hall, looking back now and again at the spider bots following them, the glowing ends of their welders burning in orange light. But the kids tried not to think about it. They just tried to stay as silent as they possibly could, keeping an eye out for some sign of the security system, or some sign that the spider bots were onto them. Vale held up a hand. He pointed down an even tinier hallway that broke off from the one they were in. It was essentially a crawl space. Finn shrugged. Vale put his hands to his eyes again like he was looking through binoculars, but Finn and Abigail shrugged again. He tried to mouth the word, "Security system." But those are hard words to lip read, and Abigail and Finn had no idea what he was saying. So finally, frustrated, Vale said, "In there! That's how you disable the security system!" And suddenly, about 24 spider bots crowded onto the ceiling above them. "Oops," said Vale. All right, I am here with my son and editor, Young Griffin Messenger. Say hi to everybody, Griff.
Hi, hello!
All right, so we are now three deep into our Choose Your Own Adventure adventure. And what do you think of it so far?
Pretty good.
You having fun?
Mm-hmm.
It's been really fun. It's been fun getting all the votes in. We usually get a couple hundred votes at least per episode, and everybody's been writing in about why they think, trying to make the case for one way or another. And I think that's pretty cool. And this is actually the first time that I've been really surprised. You and I both thought that the story was going to follow Monster Elias, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the audience chose, and we got overruled.
Yeah.
which is cool. So you had a couple questions about this episode in particular. Did you want to ask them?
Do the little robots have personalities?
You mean like do they get books like the other robots get?
Yeah.
No, not these robots. These robots are kind of little, like, almost like little worker bees. And so they're just programmed to do different fit tasks, not really given a personality to be, like, a friend to a human.
Okay. Why don't the robots have eyes?
Why don't the robots... Well, so it's not that the robots don't have eyes so much as that the robots are programmed to do certain tasks. So say there's a repair that needs to happen, and it's maybe it's in the middle of the Marlowe's core and it's really hot there and human can't go there. They're programmed to go do it, or it's in the really tiny space. They're programmed to go do that. So it's almost like mapped to where they need to go, and they don't need kind of visual input with these little tiny bots where there's maybe not room to put little visual inputs.
So it's sort of like coding?
Yeah, it's like they're programmed or coded to do certain things, exactly.
Okay.
Any other questions you had about this week's episode, Griffin?
No.
Should we do some jokes? We haven't done jokes in a while.
Sure.
All right, it's joke time! Okay, first up is our friend Seth, who's 10, from Madison, Alabama, who wrote in, "While they were playing basketball, what did the alien say to the brick? Why are you always bricking?" That's great. Thank you very much, Seth. And then up next is our pal Annika. Take it away, Annika.
My name is Annika Murphy. I'm 5 years old and I live in Washington, Linwood. And here's my joke. How do you sing the Bebop Tales theme song when it's really slow? Bebop snails, bebop snails.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Annika. All right, let's do some art. I want to say thank you to Leilani, Seth, and Joshua from Madison, Alabama. Milo Cameras, Milo, I owe you an email. You wrote a really great long email, and I will respond to it. I apologize I haven't yet. Our pal Andrew, who's 6, from Cohasset, Massachusetts. Matilda, who's 7, from Phoenix, Arizona. Our pal Abu over in India. Our pal Amelia Shriver, who drew the Jonatrons for us. That was really awesome. Thank you, Amelia. Graham, who's 5, from Chicago. Evan, who's 8. Maria, who's 8. Maxim, who is 6. And then we have 2 Mateos. 1 Mateo with 2 T's. I don't know where you're from. I'm sorry, Mateo. And then Mateo, who's 6, from Broomfield, Colorado. Ira, who's 8. Josie from Seattle. Our pal Ellery. Lucas C. And our friend Kanoa, who is 6.5. Thank you all so much. All right. And like we said before, Character Club is still definitely happening, but we're going to reserve those for our special Character Club episodes. One question for you, Griffin. Have you seen Bebop anywhere?
No, but I think he's around here somewhere playing ninja character.
Oh, you think he's a... Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Oh, no. That means he could sneak up on me at any moment.
Also, he probably would build some little toy shurikens out of my Legos, probably.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm never going to go to sleep now. All right, well, Bebop, if you hear this, as always, please... come home. Anything else you wanted to say to the fine people of planet Earth, Griffin?
If you see Bebop and a ninja robot, it's probably Bebop.
Right. All right. Well, thanks everybody so much for listening. Thank you, Griffin, for all of your help and suggestions for these episodes. You want to say bye to everybody?
Bye. Bye. Bye.
All right. Bye, everybody. Well, we need your help voting in this episode. Should the explorers next time go into the crawl space and try to disable the security system, or should they find some way to stop those little mini robots? You need to vote. Go to fincaspian.com/choose and let us know what you think. The Alien Adventures of Finn Caspian is a Gen Z kids production, written and produced by Jonathan Messenger, edited and guided by Griffin Messenger, with special thanks to Maria Villanueva. Emerson Messenger is our intern. Our art is by Sir Ian Dingman, and the music at the beginning and end of every show is by Mark Greenberg, recently voted the nicest human in the multiverse. To vote in the next episode, go to fincaspian.com/choose. For any other questions you may have, go to fincaspian.com or check out the show notes, and we will see you next week.
did somebody say ninja?
Hey, parents and teachers. Have you heard about GZMClassroom.com? It's a website where teachers can get companion resources for everyone's favorite GZM shows. 6 Minutes, Mars Patel, Podcast Title Pending, Seis Minutos, The Res, Becoming Mother Nature, Iowa Chapman and the Last Dog, Treasure Island 2020, The Hollow, Young Ben Franklin, and The Big Fib all have companion resources for additional critical thinking, listening comprehension, and ultimately, creativity. We made them just for you. And oh yeah, they're free. Free! The people on Facebook didn't believe us, but they are F-R-E-E, free. Head to gzmclassroom.com and get yours today. Hey, it's Jess. Did you know that GZM Shows has a YouTube channel? Right now, all of 6 Minutes, Becoming Mother Nature, GZM Beats, and Cupid and the Reaper are up. And they're in these, like, beautiful playlists. They have this fun audio waveform visual. And best of all, you can turn on captions. And the captions have character names. Anyway, subscribe to GZM Shows on YouTube. Maybe there'll be some cool things in the future, like live streams, interviews, behind the scenes. We'll see. GZM Shows on YouTube.